This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. More than 40 days have gone by since the new North Carolina budget was supposed to be in place. In the past weeks, negotiations between Republican legislative leaders and Democratic Governor Roy Cooper have barely budged. Cooper vetoed the latest Republican House budget, citing low pay increases for teachers and the absence of Medicaid expansion. House Republicans want a budget that includes more corporate tax cuts. So what's it going to take for a spending plan to move forward? Here to run us through all of that and give us a look ahead to North Carolina's upcoming special elections is our Capitol Bureau Chief Jeff DeBeery. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Frank.
And before we talk about all of that, news just in, a news conference held by the governor to talk about some new economic development in our state. What happened?
That's right. A Fortune 500 company, Xerox, of course, listeners will be familiar with that. That company is bringing 600 jobs to Wake County, specifically to Cary. This is, you know, the latest economic good economic development news that's taking place in one of the urban areas of the state. A couple of numbers for you just to share. In addition to the 600 new jobs, we learned that a total of $12.4 million of both municipal and state investments will be used to encourage or lure Xerox to come. Economists have long said this is just, one of those necessary evils, necessary parts of economic development. That works out to about $20,600 per job, if you want to break it down that way. And then the always notable average annual salary, $112,000, which is a big number. The follow-up I'm always interested in is what's the median average or the median annual salary? They didn't have that number available. Median generally gives you a slightly better snapshot of where the bulk of the earners are, not necessarily the average, because some big earners can pull that up, of course.
All right. Well, that sounds great. Now let's talk about the budget. Speaking of incentives and packages to help lure corporations to North Carolina, we were supposed to have one July 1st. We don't. Where are we right now?
We're in day 44 of a budget impasse. I don't know what else you could possibly want to talk about. For context, let's also just remind listeners that in 2015, with a Republican-led legislature and a Republican governor, they didn't reach a budget agreement until the end of September. So we're not yet in uncharted territory in a place where no one has been before. We've been here somewhat recently. I think the different dynamic this time is that there doesn't seem to be any meaningful, if any, conversations taking place between legislative leaders, the Speaker Tim Moore, the Senate Leader Phil Berger, the Governor Roy Cooper. And at this point, I would be, quite frankly, I would be surprised if we have a budget deal by the end of September. The big hangup, of course, is Medicaid. And at this point, I mean, this stalemate, you can choose some analogy if you want, but they're frozen in the snow. Nothing is moving on this.
All right. Well, let's talk about that big impasse right now, or the big barrier, Medicaid spending, because also the governor, Medicaid expansions, what the governor wants. Republican-led legislature would like to see more corporate tax cuts, and those two things, I think, would you say, are big obstacles to any final agreement?
I think they are, and I think if we look at the specifics of what the legislature sent the governor, and going both back to earlier in the year, the governor's initial proposal, and also a counter proposal that he has sent the legislature since vetoing its budget, there are some significant differences in here as we look at, tax policy, as we look at the franchise tax, how much of a raise to give teachers and state employees. The governor wants to give more of a raise to teachers and state employees, and also to more teachers and state employees, to all of them is his position, where he's saying that the legislature is not proposing a raise for every teacher and every rank and file state employee. But as notable as those things are, it really is all about Medicaid in the sense that I think those smaller provisions, community college funding is another one, I think they could find middle ground and they could work on those. But the big element here is this coverage gap. And they're really not even on the same page. The Republicans say, Governor Cooper is unwilling to even negotiate with us. What he has said is effectively there's an ultimatum, and without Medicaid expansion, he's not going to sign any budget. So there's nothing we can do.
So when you say Medicaid expansion, what is it that the governor's asking for?
So the governor, it depends on what estimate you use, but generally the sides agree that if you were to expand Medicaid, which is for people who are living in poverty, people who are living with disability, from the threshold that is currently considered to be under the Medicaid umbrella. If that was going to be increased to 138% of where the poverty line is, you would place another 500,000 to 600,000 people in that Medicaid coverage. The governor wants that. He also doesn't want there to be premiums. He doesn't want people who are added to those roles, if this expansion were to take place, to have to pay money. He also doesn't want there, he, the governor, doesn't want there to be a work requirement. And he feels like this is a winning political issue for him. And he also says that, you know, this is something that the state needs to do. The Republicans are concerned about cost. We've seen in other red states that have expanded Medicaid, there have often been work requirements added. Some of those have been struck down in federal court. But Republicans are also concerned about expanding what is a pretty big program, obviously. I mean, it's a several $1 billion a year program. The Republicans are concerned about cost overruns, and they're concerned about this program extending to people who are outside of that threshold of 130% of the poverty gap.
All right. So there's the impasse. And as you say, it's gone on for longer than this, even when everybody involved, the governor and the legislature, was controlled by Republicans. What is significant in this case, and we'll compare it to last year, is that this year the Republicans cannot override the governor's veto. And that's pretty significant, too.
It is. And it was as simple as bringing the veto back the last 2 years, because Governor Cooper vetoed the legislative budget the last two cycles. And they overrode his executive action along. They didn't need any Democrats to override the governor's veto. But this year, of course, that is gone. That mechanism for Republicans is gone. They need seven. If the chamber were full, the way it works in North Carolina is you need 3/5 of the members present in order to override. So if it's a full 120 in the House, you would need seven Democrats to vote with the Republicans to override the governor's veto. Now, just a little bit of math here. Of the 55 Democrats in the North Carolina House, 51 renewed their pledge last week in a letter to legislative leaders saying, you know, we stand with the governor. We're not going to vote to override. But of course, that does potentially leave as many as four in play. And then you think it becomes a math game, dangerous to do on the radio. But you think about what we call around here shrinking the chamber. And if there aren't 120 members present, if there are 115 or 113 due to whatever the circumstances are, there just aren't members present here. The Republicans, in theory, could override the governor's veto. And I think there's still some optimism from the Speaker of the House, Tim Moore, to do that. But of course, here we are 44 days in. So if it were really that close, or if they had been able to override by now, they would have done it.
All right. So, and of course, they keep it on the docket, which keeps the Democrats on their toes. They have to show up or be ready to show up every day, so that it doesn't surprise them and find that there was a vote someday they were, you know, on vacation.
That's right. And we've had some Democrats who have shared with us that they have moved vacations, have canceled vacations. There was a legislative or a political conference a couple weeks back in Nashville that a number of them relinquished their they were planning on going, and they effectively gave back their reservations because they couldn't be there. They had to be here in the event of a veto override budget vote.
Now, remind us what happens, because as we said, the deadline was July 1st. Unlike the federal government, there's no real cliff when it comes state spending in North Carolina. What happens when we miss the deadline?
That's right. There's no shutdown here. Republicans foresaw this day coming several years ago and enacted a law that maintains previous year's spending levels in a new fiscal year in the event that there is not a budget. So that's why your state parks and your government offices remain open. As this impasse continues, there are going to be some increased effects. I think one that perhaps affects the most number of people would be raises for teachers and state employees. Without a new budget, you can't do that. In other years, when the budget has been done 2 or 3 months down the road, they will do those raises retroactively. I do think it's important to note, it is conceivable that we don't have a new budget for a year. I mean, something could break the impasse, but that is also a possibility. And when you think about people that are not going to get raises, or you think about particular projects, new projects that would have been in a state budget, those things are not getting funding or raises for the time being.
Yeah, and then there's the political calculus, who wins and who loses if the stalemate continues, and I'm sure both parties are trying to do the math on that. But I do want to move on, talk briefly about two upcoming congressional elections. What have you noticed in the campaign for the 3rd District?
Yeah, 3rd District, of course, the race to replace Walter Jones. This is a heavily red district. And I think one of the things perhaps of note that we've talked about here is that the Republican candidate, Greg Murphy, in the North Carolina House, has been a backer of Medicaid expansion, which is just interesting coming out of our last conversation, of course. He is seen as the favorite, partially because of the electorate, partially because he has a voting record here at the House, and he's a reliable conservative. There's also the Democratic challenger, Alan Thomas, former mayor of Greenville. He's come out in recent days. He said something to the effect of, you know, thoughts and prayers are nice in light of the mass shootings, but prayer only gets you so far, and we need action. He is advocated for universal background checks. He has not gone as far as to call for a ban on assault rifles. He says that's a little nebulous. He's not entirely clear on, you know, what all would fall under that, but he has called for some further firearm restrictions or firearm policies in place.
All right. And I've given you 30 seconds for the fight in the 9th Congressional District.
A lot of money in this one coming in from outside groups. I think both candidates are trying to paint the other as more extreme than perhaps they actually are, trying to paint the Democrat as aligned with the Squad, trying to paint the Republican as, and just remind people that he's the author of House Bill 2, trying to tie him to a donation he made to a social media platform that supported white nationalism. So that one's not getting any prettier, and we'll have a winner in both of these on September 10th.
Jeff Tiberi is our Capitol Bureau Chief. Thank you, Jeff.
You're welcome, Frank.
Coming up, Nina Simone's life explained in a one-woman show coming to Playmakers. We'll talk about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.